Welcome to the Grow Strong Leaders podcast. I'm your host, Meredith Bell, and I interview business leaders who are committed to their own growth and the development of everyone on their team. If you enjoy my podcast, be sure to subscribe and rate it on your favorite podcast platform. Welcome to another episode of the Grow Strong Leaders podcast. I'm your host, Meredith Bell. And in my show, I love to interview people who have worked very diligently on their own learning and development, growing as leaders, and also have really focused on helping others grow and realize their full potential. And today I have with me as a guest someone who has just been doing that beautifully on both sides. And I'm really excited to welcome Erin Bryan. Welcome, Erin, to my show.
Thank you, Meredith. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, it's going to just be a wonderful conversation. And for those of my listeners that are interested in helping people become better as coaches and creating a coaching culture, this is going to be a fabulous conversation for those folks. Let me first introduce you, Erin, to my audience, and then we'll jump into the questions I have for you today. Erin is the Senior Director for Learning and Organizational Development with Redfin. And prior to that, she led learning and development teams in the travel tech industry for Expedia and Vrbo. Erin is passionate about creating innovative learning and career experiences, cultivating learning cultures, and driving behavior and skill growth. She's a certified professional coach specializing in career, executive, and life coaching. You can tell from this description that Erin is very passionate about learning and development as well as coaching. So Erin, let's start out by having you describe a little bit about your journey in these areas.
Excellent. Thank you, Meredith. You captured the summary pretty well. So yeah, I'm currently at Redfin. I'll tell you a little bit more about what our team does. We do kind of overall employee experience, employee engagement, learning, and organization development here at Redfin. And I came into this career after a long time actually in higher ed. I don't know if we talked about that, Meredith, but I was in the sort of the academic side of higher ed, academic affairs, and creating student development programs there. And I really found this love for creating programs that can help at that time students kind of excel beyond the classroom. And it translated really nicely into the corporate world. And I love the sort of fast-paced nature of tech companies. So I found Vrbo, which at the time was HomeAway. I really grew my career in learning and development there. At Expedia, I worked in doing product and tech learning and development, actually. So I sat sort of in the business in a strategy group doing product and tech. And I found coaching while I was there because we really wanted to figure out, how do we help teach managers to coach employees? Mm. And at the time, I didn't really know what coaching meant. You know, we have all these different definitions for coaching, and I really didn't know what it meant until I was, you know, in that position of creating this program. And luckily, I worked with some experts in it and learned about it and became really passionate about it. So I went and did my certification. So it's something that I really bring into everything that I do. It's how I show up as a leader. And it's also a big part of, you know, the culture that I am trying to bring to Redfin.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about Redfin, so people understand a little bit more about what kind of company it is, how the leadership structure is in place. So everything else we talk about will make more sense for them.
Yeah, that's a great call out. So Redfin is in the real estate industry, and we are we call ourselves a tech enabled company. So we a lot of our business comes through our platform. So it merges sort of we call it a one stop shop for buyers and sellers. So we connect sort of the whole end to end real estate experience for our consumers. you mentioned our leadership structure and things like that. So what's really unique about working for a company like Redfin is we do have sort of traditional tech employees that you can imagine being tech enabled, but we are a huge sales organization because we hire agents. So a lot of the leaders that we are working with are actually managers of agents who are, you know, out in the field, as well as sort of, you know, maybe you think of traditional managers in the tech side, right? Engineering and marketing and product, HR, of course. So sort of spanning all of the areas. So we are supporting everywhere from frontline managers, sometimes first-time managers, up to executive level with the programs that we create.
So one of the things that I was so excited about when you and I had talked before was your commitment to create a real coaching culture. And so I would love for you to describe what's the vision for that? What will that look like when that's in place? And also to back up and look at what were people struggling with that caused you to say, this is something we need to do?
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack with that question. My mind just went in a million directions in a good way. When I first came into the company, I observed that we were actually teaching coaching incorrectly. We were focused more on the manager skills, which are very important, but around how to be really direct, how to lay guardrails, give people direction, give them advice and recommendations, performance management, right? All of those things are very, very critical for managers to do. But where I saw a gap was that we weren't really teaching people, what does it mean to coach? And how do you help coach your employees to their fullest potential? This is even more critical now than ever, I think, because it's no surprise that, you know, real estate is having a tough time as an industry right now, right? These are tough economic times. There is a lot of sort of uncertainty in the market right now. So for me, what I see is an impact to our culture, and coaching is one way that we can help employees feel more connected to what we're doing, connected to their managers, their teams, and hopeful about the future of Redfin. So it's more important than ever that we have managers who can really show up as a coach, that can listen, that can come from a place of empathy, you know, create psychological safety on their teams and help people realize their potential in sort of a, you know, a challenging time. So that's another thing that makes this even more timely than when I first started at that company a year ago. Does that answer your question?
It does. It gets at, you know, what you were seeing, where there was an opportunity to help these interactions between the managers and the agents, managers and employees, you know, really go to a higher level. And I know you really did your homework. I would love for you to talk a little bit about what research and analysis did you do before you started putting a program in place?
Yeah, absolutely. I never like to make assumptions. I like to, you know, absolutely follow intuition, but back it up with data. So when I first joined the company, I did a kind of massive learning needs analysis is what I would call it, and did a mix of focus groups, surveys, and really analyzed that data, both the quantitative and qualitative, to look at what are the key themes. We really focused on leaders. And what was interesting too is we asked your direct reports of the leaders, you know, what do you need more of, or what could help you excel, so that we got their feedback as well. And it was really interesting. I mean, usually there are some differences in what people perceive as their needs, but coaching came across as a huge theme. Now, I will say is people didn't use that term. So people didn't say, I need to learn how to coach, right? But people use terms like, how do I connect with my team in a remote work world? How do I, you know, create a space where I can help them grow? How do I motivate employees? So a lot of these themes came out that, you know, knowing what I knew about what coaching could do, I was able to point to, you know, look at all these directions that this could go and how much this could support, you know, our managers, which ultimately supports all of our employee base. So the needs analysis was a huge part of it. Shared that data with several of our leaders, you know, formulated a proposal for several different programs, a leadership accelerator program, which we are about to wrap up end of this month for sort of our high performing leaders that we want to help grow and get to the next level of their career. New manager development overall, we've revamped and launched that. So, you know, there's a lot of different programs that were included, but coaching was a huge piece and something that we wove in to quite a few programs, as well as created standalone workshops for.
Mm-hmm. As I was listening to you describe that, I was thinking for leaders who are, let's say, have been in a leadership role for a long period of time, and aren't used to taking on coaching as one of their responsibilities. Did you find some resistance and having them embrace that role as well? And if you did, how did you help them see it in a positive light?
You know, it's a really interesting question. I would say we actually didn't see much resistance. I think the only resistance would come when people don't really know what it is. Mm-hmm. So until they understand what it can do for them, there hasn't been resistance. The only other exception I would say is to effectively coach employees, you have to be comfortable with a little bit of emotion coming out. Mm-hmm. And some managers really like to separate emotion, personal stuff that could come up, and work. And that can be challenging, but I would say that's the minority of people who run into that. And usually it's an opportunity to have a great conversation around that, right? And what are those boundaries, and how can you both get to a place where you can be comfortable being authentic and letting employees be their authentic selves, but not crossing any lines or boundaries? So that's the only other thing I would say where there's resistance. And really the way it's turned around, or the way that I think people have bought in and realized how impactful this can be, is, so there's a few things. One is I always demo it. And I'm laughing a little because this actually like puts myself and my team very much on the spot when we get in front of a huge group of leaders. One of the biggest groups that we did it with was a few hundred people. And we got on a stage and we had a real coaching session so that people could see, what does this look like? Mm-hmm. And when they watch it in action, they really start to get how this is a different skill set and how much it can help unlock relationships with their team, you know, helping them help employees through blockers or challenges that they're facing in a completely different way than they've ever done it. You know, we are all so used to being problem solvers, to giving advice, to telling people what to do, right? And sometimes there's a time and place for that. But when people see sort of the magic of what you can do when you put on your coaching hat, mm-hmm. I think it really opens people's eyes to say, whoa, that's something new I've never really seen before, and I want to learn that. Overall, I would say the response from our leaders has been very positive. And if anything, they're like, teach me more. I want to know what's the advanced next level of this and how do we do this? So,
that's really awesome. I love that you gave a real time example. Was it the case that one of you actually did need coaching with something, so you weren't creating an artificial situation?
Yeah.
Real time with a real issue.
Yeah. What I tell every group that we do this with is this doesn't work if it's a mock scenario. It doesn't, we can't fake it. So it has to be authentic. So My partner who does this with me, she and I usually swap and we'll coach each other. And we always pick something very authentic and real. And it's, you know, usually a work-related challenge or blocker that we are facing. So it helps a lot to see that sort of authenticity be role modeled in front of them and then see how can, you know, the skills of coaching actively listening, asking powerful questions, reframing and mirroring back, using empathy, digging deeper, using curiosity, right? How can those things come together to truly help someone? Even in the, you know, for this, we usually do it pretty quick, 10-minute demo. And I swear, you know, the two of us, we walk out of there always having felt like, wow, we had a really impactful coaching session just in front of 200 people. It has to be authentic. Yep.
That's a great point. And I'm guessing you've heard some really cool stories from leaders who have actually used these approaches as opposed to what they typically would have done in the past, providing the answer, giving advice, that sort of thing.
Yep.
What are you hearing as the benefits to them personally and to the relationship with the people on their teams?
Yeah, it's honestly one of the most rewarding things about this work is getting to see the impact it makes on them. You know, some of them really say it's changed how I show up in general at work, you know, bringing more empathy and listening to their team, helping them really connect and build trust in a new way. You know, some managers too, I think they don't really realize like, oh, it's okay to be this way. It's okay to sort of like open up this space and how can I push employees in a completely different way? So, you know, for many of them, the most impactful feedback I've heard is just that it's created this completely new way that they show up as leaders and with their team, and they've built relationships. They're seeing it work. You know, many of them after a workshop, after they first learn it, they'll send us a message. And, you know, we always ask for confidentiality. So we don't ask for specifics with their coaching, you know, when they're coaching employees, but, you know, they'll share, wow, you know, I would have handled this a totally different way before and just given advice based on my experiences, but it really worked. I was able to help so-and-so, you know, through a really tough thing that they were going through, and also building, you know, relationships where employees feel like they can be more comfortable being themselves, which is, you know, it's so important from so many perspectives. It's also a way for us to help managers know how to be more inclusive. You know, how do you really show up in a way that makes everyone feel comfortable on your team? This is a skill that can help with that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as I'm hearing you describe that, I was thinking, you know, this whole issue that so many companies are dealing with quiet quitters,
yeah,
and the great resignation, the benefit of taking that approach, it seems to me, is a huge benefit in terms of turnover and
yeah.
actual commitment and productivity. Are you seeing some impacts like that?
Yeah. So it's absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up. You know, many companies are worried about retention or just trying to figure out how do I keep employees longer, because, you know, we also know the great resignation sort of turned into the great reshuffle of people just jumping ship and going somewhere else. So that takes a huge toll on productivity and onboarding costs for managers and all of that. So yeah, this is part of our strategy to really help with retention. You know, we believe that if we can bring a little bit more love into work and have, yeah, I know, isn't it? It's like a novel thing to say. People are so scared to talk about love at work. And it's actually something our CEO talks about, Glenn Kelman. And he, I so admire him for this, but he's always had this view that, hey, it's okay to like, we want people to love what they do. We want people to feel the love on their teams, you know, and it's an important part of being a good manager. So it's great to work for a company that is comfortable saying that. But yeah, we do believe that's going to be some of the magic that helps us retain people, especially during a tough time right now in real estate.
Yes. Well, to me, the whole idea, and I'm so thrilled you brought up that word love, because it isn't used enough. And yet, that is what people feel when someone cares deeply about their well-being and their success. It feels like they are loved. And
Absolutely.
we all have that need as human beings. And to think we can somehow separate out, you know, keep that in the personal life.
Right.
It's so much a part of who we are as people. We bring it everywhere. So I think it's great. Please convey to Glenn how much I love that that is one of his values as CEO, because I think it permeates an organization when it truly starts at the top like that. And so I just think that's so wonderful. You had also mentioned to me that there's like a secret sauce that makes it all work. What is that secret sauce?
Yeah. So, well, we call that coaching, actually. So we've really framed up coaching as a secret sauce for managers, for how they can do that, right? How they can show up with love, and how they can show up with empathy, and how they can help move people forward through the skills of coaching. So, you know, we really believe that. We know that many people don't know what it is until they get into it, until they learn it. I was in the same boat. I really didn't know. I thought coaching was like a sports coach where you're giving direction and encouraging people, but telling them what to do, right? So, you know, I think that people don't really get it. And so as a way to really draw them in and help them see how, you know, important this is to being a leader here, we call it the secret sauce. So we keep a little bit of magic around that. And when we're promoting the programs and help them learn these skills. So it's coaching.
You know, one thing I know with your years of experience in learning and development, people don't master a skill by being exposed to it one time.
Right.
So they can hear and watch you and the member of your team demonstrate it, which is very powerful. But then they leave. And so what is it you do on an ongoing basis to help them really ingrain that and help master it and become so comfortable with it, it becomes second nature to them?
It is, you're right on. Especially with, you can't learn it overnight. It's not something you can just read and then do, right, or go to one workshop. So it's really challenging. So I would say we're still in the earlier stages of that journey at Redfin. I can speak a little bit to the ongoing plan. What we're focused right now is building those foundational skills for managers. So we have done several workshops, but we haven't hit everyone yet. So like, that's our huge goal going into early 2023 is get these workshops out there to give them the foundational skills, help them learn, you know, a conversational model. We've built one internally, but it's based on Grow, the Grow model. Mm-hmm. And how do we learn these fundamental skills? I've done something in the past I'll speak to because it's also in part how I'm thinking about the future and ingraining this. But another thing we're doing is we're offering some coaching for the leaders so they can receive coaching. It's difficult to scale when you have such a small team, so we have to be very judicious about it. But giving managers the opportunity to be coached themselves also helps them learn the skill,
yes,
right? Because then they're seeing it day in and day out and they're able to role model it. So that is one other way that we're trying to sort of ingrain it in the culture. Some of the other plans for the future, though, are offering a sort of part two of this that will go much deeper on the skills. So more practice in doing things like having accountability buddies, right? Accountability is something we talk about a lot in coaching, is how do you help hold accountability with no judgment, right? So giving people accountability buddies with tasks and projects. So for example, you know, complete 10 hours of practice coaching sessions with your direct reports or with others within this time frame. So having sort of different milestones of commitments and practice work that they will do to keep sharpening their saw and keep that skill going. Mm-hmm. And right now, we're getting a lot of asks for the part two, like people who want to keep practicing and advancing their skills, which is great. So we're we've got to get through the rest of our managers who need to learn this, and then we'll be offering the sort of next level of it. Yeah.
That's great. So once everything is in place and you have done these workshops, what ultimately will it look like to have a coaching culture? How will people be with each other?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's some things that I think we'll see metrics wise that will look different. So, right, we hope to see an impact to our retention, right? We want to see those numbers change. We use an engagement survey and pulse survey to get employee engagement scores. So we actually added a specific question around coaching, and we have other engagement scores we'd also like to see change from this. So those are some of the macro long-term metrics we'll be looking at. In terms of sort of what we'll observe and see in terms of how people show up differently, you know, I think there are some leaders too who need more work than others on these skills. Mm. So, but really creating a sort of a baseline across our managers of what is that, I hate to use the term bar, but that sort of level look like, mm-hmm. in terms of the behaviors that we regularly expect to see on teams, and really knowing when to show up as a coach and when to put on your other hats that you need to put on as a manager. So sort of being able to see that cohesively throughout, where managers are really comfortable stepping into a one-on-one and being able to apply those skills with their teams. But it's also, I truly believe, it's not just when you're formally coaching, it's the way you show up as a manager, right? So being a leader who, yes, can be direct and doesn't shy away from tough feedback, but also someone who knows how to really help someone reach their potential through coaching and how to help drive someone forward through those skills. So showing up with more empathy, more care, better listening. So often we're in our own heads when we listen, right? That's not really active listening. So those are some of the things that, you know, we're continuing to want to monitor and see grow in terms of the capabilities of our leaders.
You know, as I'm hearing you describe that, it seems that one of the key things is really the leaders becoming more self-aware and that openness to grow and learn and not feel like they have to have it right. You know? And absolutely. So if they're starting this new coaching behavior, you know, their direct reports are aware they're taking on something new. And this is different than they've been before. And so to me, the part of the fun, if they can see it that way, is the willingness to be open and vulnerable with their direct reports. So they're kind of together as learners,
right,
in the process.
I love how you just phrased that. It's so right. So they're almost seeing their manager's role model, their own growth mindset, growing, learning, and like opening their hearts in a new way to their employees, but also to learning a skill set. So absolutely. It makes me think of the word ego too, right? Of really trying to help leaders set aside ego, mm-hmm. and be more comfortable showing up a little bit more vulnerably, right? Like, that's okay. You're not always going to be wrong, right? So those, yeah.
Yeah, because I think sometimes people in leadership roles feel like they have to do it right, whatever mm-hmm. that right is. And so there's this fear of being vulnerable, of apologizing even.
Right.
Because if I admit I'm wrong, then I'm human and they might respect me less.
Yes.
The reverse is true. You know,
exactly.
Everybody else knows you're human. You're not perfect. And so when we're willing to own that, it really creates that psychological safety where other people feel like it's okay to acknowledge I didn't do this correctly or I made a mistake, instead of try to hide it, cover up, or blame someone else, that taking full responsibility.
Absolutely. It reminds me of we often, when I do workshops around manager capabilities and skills. I'll start with the question to the group of, you know, when you think about a manager who you've worked with that, you know, was a great leader, what did you notice? What were the skills, attributes, et cetera? And what's interesting is you hear things that are much more related to their emotional intelligence, their interpersonal skills, right? Like people who are comfortable saying, oops, I messed up, or, right, like being vulnerable a bit. So it's truly, those are the things that make leaders impactful and memorable for employees. It's often not the functional expertise or skills that they have. Mm-hmm. While those are important, right, those aren't necessarily the things that will create these lasting bonds on teams.
Yeah, so well said. One final thing I wanted to just check with you on, because so many companies, you know, are dealing with remote workers or hybrid mm-hmm. workplaces.
Yeah,
I'm curious with, because I'm sure some of your offices have similar kinds of situations where they are working remotely. What are you doing to help them stay connected with their teams for the managers to, you know, be able to stay connected and coach them effectively in remote settings?
Yeah, it's something that is very on my mind lately, especially going into next year and thinking about how we refine our hybrid work strategy. So we right now have a sort of flexible hybrid approach. So we do have some offices. We don't have a set requirement for a number of days or time in offices. It's truly flexible to what employees want. But we have seen, you know, we've been making observations and looking at the habits of our employees, and we still see that need to figure out how do we help them connect more live. You know, I think through, since we've been talking about coaching and the way managers show up, I actually don't think you need to be live to do that effectively. This question came up at a recent manager development workshop we did, and they said, well, should we try to do these when we're coaching? Should we try to do it in person? And I said, no, actually, I haven't seen any data that shows it's more effective in person than not. So when it comes to coaching, I think you can be just as effective virtually if you do it really well. But that doesn't take away from the sort of future of work and the conversations a lot of us are having around how do we help people feel connected to their teams and their companies, right? Coaching isn't the only answer. So helping people feel that there's a place to go or times that they can be with their employees. So right now, a few things we're doing, I think are working really well, is we do ask leaders to host quarterly get-togethers. It can be at an office, you know, especially if it's where a majority of people are, great, but just make sure that they happen. So giving quality time to be together is huge. And I'll say, I've heard from some companies who don't have any sort of standards around that, and people haven't met their teams ever, and they've worked there for years, right? So I think that that does make a huge difference. The other thing we're looking at going into next year is more opportunities to get together in our offices. So whether it's more social occasions or it's an all hands meeting, but really looking at, okay, how do we offer those for the people who want them and for teams who want to have more time together so that we can help bridge some of those gaps that I think still exist. And we're just, so many companies are trying to figure this out right now, is what's that perfect, perfect balance, right? Mm-hmm. And mix of in-person versus fully remote and keeping the engagement and connection strong. So that those are some of the things that are on our mind with it. Yeah. But coaching's a part of it, but not the whole thing.
Those are all really important points. And just thinking about having conversations with people so they feel, you know, connected, not like you say, not necessarily a coaching session, but just learning more about them as a person, what's important to them, you know, what's going on with them, to take that personal interest, again, to demonstrate love through caring.
Yes, absolutely.
That goes such a long way. You know, a 5-minute conversation where somebody feels you're really with them,
mm-hmm.
sustain someone, you know, for hours, days, weeks, or even months, just because that emotional connection is so critical, along with, you know, the rest of what's going on. I just think that's so valuable. I'm so happy to hear the thought you all are giving to what can we do to make sure these connections are staying strong or getting made and staying strong within the context of the coaching role as well.
Yeah. I mean, we put a lot of pressure on our managers too, right? Managers tend to get the heaviest burden, I think. And so that's very on my mind too, is sometimes it's the engagement with your peers, or knowing that as a company, our executives are invested in us and want to invite us to do these things together, right? So those kinds of things make a difference as well. And so it's not only riding on, right, the manager and what their role is in it, because we put much pressure on managers.
That's,
I think,
a good point. Yes. Taking care of those who are also in leadership roles. That's great. Erin, thank you. This has just been such a wonderful conversation. I appreciate so much the wisdom you've shared. I love the adventure you're on there at Redfin and all the various, you know, creations you've been making to produce a company that really values and honors and practices this idea of a coaching culture. So thank you so much. Would you please share with my listeners how they can connect with you, learn more about the work you're doing at Redfin? Because I know some of my listeners are also working on some of these same kinds of areas and would love to be able to learn more about you.
Absolutely. The best way to reach me is LinkedIn. You can find me with my name. You can do the hashtag and just type in my name, and you should be able to get me, Erin Bryan. And yeah, I would love to connect. I mean, I think if it's certain, hopefully you can tell I'm very passionate about this. And also love to learn from others and hear what others are doing, but also, you know, provide advice, guidance, consulting to those who are looking to do something similar at your organization. Happy to connect. And Meredith, thank you so much for inviting me. I feel like you and I could talk for hours on this. I really enjoyed it, though. I did. Thank you.
I did too. Erin, and for those that are listening and may not have the show notes page handy, I want to spell your name since it's somewhat unusual. It's A-R-I-N, and then Brian is B-R-Y-A-N. So when they look you up, they're looking up the correct spelling. Erin, thank you again for being with me. It was such a joy. And I look forward to staying in touch and hearing more about the developments there at Redfin.
Me too. Thank you, Meredith. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for tuning into my podcast. Now head over to growstrongleaders.com and check out our two books, Connect with Your Team and Peer Coaching Made Simple. While you're there, download the free facilitator guide to find out how to implement our unique peer coaching system. Until next time, I'm Meredith Bell.